Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
Hello and welcome to The Gathering on Science of Life Radio. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and I'm joined by Tom and Melissa Gould. And this show is a discussion, and tonight's discussion is the show is going to be dedicated, as we did last month, to addressing questions that our listeners have. Some of you have written in to radio at foreverfamilyfoundation.org with some questions. You are welcome to call in during the show. The number here is 888-627-6008. I was looking over some of the questions that people wrote in, and some of them are pretty heady and pretty deep, so we'll give it a shot. I should mention we don't have a lot of things going on right now in this age of COVID, but I did want to mention that our Holidays Past raffle is nearing the end. I think the drawing is in 3 weeks. So if you haven't made a raffle purchase to win one of five medium readings with one of five certified mediums of Forever Family Foundation, just check the events page on the website. It's $5 a chance. And you also help out the foundation because that's how we raise some money. So let's get into some of these questions. Let's start with one that's not so difficult, but they're all difficult, you know. All right, so how about this? Are those in the afterlife aware of this life? Are they observing us, so to speak? That's a good question. I'm sure you guys have heard it before. I've heard people ask similar things. We always wonder if our loved ones on the other side are with us all the time. Are they aware of what we're doing? Just how close, you know, I mean, do they go to the bathroom with us? Do they eat with us? You know, when do they pop in? And I think it's a situation where, sure, they're aware of things that go on, you know, in a general sense. I don't think it's like they're monitoring us. I think that they probably feel our emotions. I think they're aware of certain important things. But I guess if you're on the other side and with this totally different perspective, some of the things that we think are important here and not so important there, and there's other things to be doing. So what are your thoughts?
Well, certainly I've seen many medium readings where the loved one comes through and talks about a wedding or a birth that has happened after they've passed and saying, oh yeah, that I was there. Or they'll say, you know, did the lights flicker at the wedding, and somebody says yes, and they say, yeah, it was me. So I'd say yes, they are able to be aware of us and our lives and want to be still a part of that.
Well, I'd say along those same lines, Tom, when we've heard our own selves being read, or more likely us being in a group situation and listening to messages come through for others, it's always kind of interesting. We're looking always for something that's evidential. And I would have to say, from what I've witnessed, that, well, again, these are group readings, not one-on-ones, but the information that comes through I hate to put them down, but of sort of secondary importance. I have heard of one-on-one readings where a recently deceased husband has brought through extremely important business information to his wife, letting her know, you know, where things are, where certain papers are. That, to me, is, you know, extremely important and very evidential. And yet, you know, oh, you still have the necklace, or you gave the watch to your son. That's all very nice, but I don't think that's going to give anybody a real feeling that their loved one is with them. What I do like to think about and often talk about when we have our groups is that I think the more often we speak our loved one's name out loud, the more often they're around us. And I equate it to a room full of people. I've noticed this, I'll have to say, with Tom, and then like, just say we're in a room with different groups of people talking, and I might be speaking to a friend and I share something Tom did, and I notice Tom might be across the room, but Tom heard his name and turns to look like, oh, what's she saying about me? And I think it's the same thing with our loved ones. I think if we mention their names in conversation, they come in close to listen. They want to hear what we're talking about. So that's my take.
Yeah, I think something comes to mind. I know we have some callers, and I want to get to them, but I just want to tell one quick thing, because we always wonder if they see what's going on. And one of the mediums of the foundation, the certified mediums, Lynn LeClaire, told us a story where she was doing a reading, and she was bringing through the sitter's mother, who was on the other side, and she was giving a lot. Lynn was giving a lot of evidential information, and the reading was going quite well. And then all of a sudden, Lynn said to the woman, "Oh my God, there's been a murder." And then she said, "Shots fired. You know." One shot, two shots, three shots, you know, four shots fired. And meanwhile, the sitter is sitting there looking at the medium saying, "What are you talking about? This is my mother. What are you talking about? A murder?" You know? And Lynn said, "Well, it's four shots fired and three people dead." So 10 minutes after Lynn says this, they both hear, Lynn and the sitter, sirens outside Lynn's home where she was conducting the reading. And they came and blocked off the street. And as it turns out, there was a murder taking place down the block. And the woman who lived there, her estranged husband, came in and killed three people and fired four shots. So her mother, in spirit, you know, relayed that this was going on. It seems that's pretty good evidence that they are aware. This happened to take place during a reading, and maybe the mother said all this stuff because it would be extremely, that would really prove that she's around and aware of things. So it's kind of an extraordinary story. We have another question. Does time function in the same way for them, you know, them being on the other side? I think the consensus is that time is not like we know it here. It's not linear. There's no real past, present, and future. Things are all, you know, entangled. They could be in two different places and at two different times, you know, so because they're this entity of without a body and just of energy. So what do you think about it? You think that there's time on the other side?
No, I've seen that and read that in many books, that time is irrelevant on the other side. And as you say, that you can, your soul can be in multiple places at the exact same time. You can, in fact, it probably is quite like that. I mean, we think that we're here on Earth, that this is all there is to our soul, that we're trapped, well, trapped. We're riding around in this body as a vehicle in the physical, and that's all it is. But our soul could also be in the 1700s right now, swashbuckling somewhere, or wandering the universe. And this is just one part of our existence, is what we're doing here now on this planet.
I'd like to share a passage that I read recently. I know the issue of time comes up again and again, and I recall past radio programs where Fran and Tom would get into these discussions and trying to help me understand that there about there being no time on the other side. And this was an interesting passage that I read. Imagine instead that you are perfectly still and the road is passing under your feet. The scenery is flying by you. In actuality, this is much closer to how your life operates than you know. Your sense of time with your past, present, and future is much like this analogy. You did not live in the past, and you will not live in the future. You live only now, in this moment. The past is what has flown past you, and the future will be passing by, but you do not move. And it goes on a bit longer, but it's all about realizing the moment we're in is really the only moment that we have. So on the other side, we're not in physical form anymore. All the experiences when we're in spirit, all of these past, present, and futures are like blended together, and there's no sequential order. I love timelines, and I guess that's my problem. I love timelines, and those are just out the window. So I tried picturing that. Okay, everything just went by me, and I've just been standing here. However, but we age, we get older, we change in appearance, and our bodies get altered. So I guess I really don't know.
Well, you know, but listen, you know, this human experience, that's how we're conditioned. We know that, you know, the past happened, we're living in the present, and we'll move into the future. But that's probably purely a human concept. You know, this is probably the only place where that holds true. So yeah. You know, of course it's difficult to think outside of, you know, this linear time frame, but we'll find out soon enough. Here's a question. This person writes that, you know, the concept that we're an immortal personality entangled for a human lifetime in this world that returns to another plane once we pass on. He said, well, I'm comfortable with this. I base my concepts on love and decency. I think we almost all do. However, where does the personality of someone like Hitler or Jim Jones or Jeffrey Dahmer and so forth fit into the picture? Where do they go? Where do they come from? And what purpose did they serve?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's very difficult, you know, question to ask. You know, especially, you know, what purpose do they serve? You know, so, yeah. You know, the spiritual explanation might be that, you know, that we learn through the horrors that they, you know, put upon us, as difficult as that is to imagine. And, you know, where do they go? Everybody wants to feel that there's afterlife justice, so that if you live a good, compassionate, loving life, you don't want to know that you're going to be in the same place as these people that wreak so much havoc. And, you know, I it's all conjecture, but, you know, based on everything that I've read is that, you know, we kind of settle in to our new environment with like people, the people that were very much like us in the physical. So if we were a murderer that tortured people, we're going to find ourselves in a similar type of environment. I mean, I'm not talking about a clearly delineated heaven and hell type thing, because I don't believe in that. But I do believe that we gravitate towards, people, and maybe that would be an uncomfortable situation, to suddenly be able to feel the pain you inflicted on others, as opposed to feel the love that you bestowed upon others. So, a lot of the people also say that you're not like a Hitler, may not stay in that environment forever. Now in this new realm, and this new enlightenment and this new perspective, that there's a gradual, at least a chance for a gradual improvement. And, maybe the Hitlers of yesterday become the saints of tomorrow, I mean, it's just, so it's really hard. So you want to take a crack at any of this?
Yeah, there's quite a lot that jumps out. Maybe I'll jump first to a reference that we often use to a book called Testimony of Light, which is a book we've mentioned many times in the show. That's a woman, I believe she was a nun, and her friend passed over and then started channeling back to her descriptions of what she's discovered in the afterlife. And a person like Hitler, when they get to the other side, you've heard of the life review that we all have, which is not necessarily a group of people review judging your actions, but your own self, that you relive in a way what you've done here on earth. And then you learn from that, whether, wow, I shouldn't have done that, or I should have done this. And somebody in the realm of evil, in the Testimony of Light, they got taken into a dark room, and a spirit guides come in and help the person try to learn from their mistakes, or in some cases, I would imagine they get sent back to Earth to try to let's get it right this time, kind of thing. So there's that. What I've seen from, again, with medium readings, there are often people who come through in a reading, like a father will come into a daughter, and the daughter will say, I don't want to talk to him. That guy was abusive to me when I was a kid. And the father, 10 times out of 10, I would have to say, in these readings, comes back to apologize. So they have learned... while they're over there, they see the error of their ways, and they see the pain that they have inflicted on other people, and realize how wrong they are, and they come back and apologize in a reading. So there is on those levels. And then one other thing that a flip side to that question is people say, well, why are there people like Hitler? If, we've got a compassionate, loving universe, why do we come into this world and find Hitlers and Dahmers and that? And I've seen a quote about, you can't appreciate the light unless you've seen the darkness. And I think that that's where we get that in the physical realm. We see evil incarnate and we see darkness, so that when we do pass over and we enter into the bright light and the loving realm of forgiveness, and that that we appreciate that a lot more than perhaps we would if it was always light. It's like living in California, I guess.
All right, let's Nick is back on the line, so let's go to a call. So we'll take Nick. Nick, you're on The Gathering.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, sure can. Yeah. Do you
Okay,
have
great,
a
great.
question?
I wanted to try. I'm not a medium, and I don't know any. And I would like to reach out to somebody. So I've been trying my hand at EVP. Do you know much
Yes.
about EVP? And can you suggest some ways to make that work a little better?
Well, yeah, electronic voice phenomena is an easy process to engage in. All you need is a simple recording device. It could be, any digital recorder is fine. You set your intention. Ask, spirit to come through. Turn on the recorder for 30 seconds, and then and shut it off. Oh, and then you could repeat it again. And sometimes you will hear, a voice on the recorder. Now you'll never ever hear the voice as it's recording. I don't know why, but it's always like that. You only hear the voice when it's played back at a later date. And there are people that experiment with EVP. Sometimes they could do it for months and months or years before information starts flowing. But it's interesting that you're a
Okay.
medium because, in
Well,
essence,
I'm not a
people.
medium. I'm not
Oh,
a
you're not a
medium.
medium. Oh, I thought you said you're a
No,
medium.
that's why I'm
No,
doing
but
this.
okay. So there are. You can go to places like on the web, ATRANSC. Tom and Lisa Butler
Yeah.
have an organization that, this, and they,
Yeah, I'm aware of it.
they have some good information. And sometimes you'll get messages that you don't understand, but somebody else might, and people might be using you as a conduit to get messages to somebody else. And also, we talk about. We always encourage people when they go to medium readings to record it, and the reason we do that is sometimes when the sitter goes home and plays back the recording, they hear a voice that was not their voice or the medium's voice appear on the recording. So it's a real phenomenon, and it doesn't always happen, most of the time it doesn't, and some people seem to be better at collecting EVPs than others, and that's pretty
Yeah.
difficult to understand why, but it does happen, and we've at the foundation have received and played EVPs at some of our groups right now. I've been experimenting with that myself, is to see if I get messages from my deceased wife. So it is. I think when you hear it, it's clear. It's significant. It's
Yeah.
really
What do you mean
startling.
by setting intention?
What
What
do
do
I
you mean
mean by
by
what? I
setting
didn't catch
intention?
that.
Setting an intention. You
Oh,
start
well,
off. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Tom.
Setting an intention is before you meditate, before you go to sleep at night, before you start your recorder for trying to capture an EVP, is you invite a spirit in. You say it's your mother, and you say who's passed, and you
Yeah.
say, "I'd love to hear from you. I'm starting this machine. Can you leave something for me on the machine?" Things like that. Or, before you go to bed, you say, "I would like, I love you. I want to see you again. Can you come and visit me in the dream?" And things like that. I must say, though, I've actually seen Tom and Lisa Butler speak, and I've seen the several times have been to demonstrations of EVP, and really, it's only maybe a word or a short phrase. You're never going to get, and I shouldn't say never, but the chances of you getting any kind of significant message is pretty slim. I think, what you'll get is Melissa actually has an EVP that it's her father's voice, and he just says it's grandpa, and we can tell it's him. It showed up on an answering machine tape that we had, and that's it. I mean, it makes us feel good to know that, wow, that's him communicating, but there isn't anything more than that to it. I might recommend, rather than, you will, as Bob says, you can try the EVP, certainly, but come in, don't expect anything, and you can go months or years without getting anything. So that could be a bit frustrating. I might suggest trying, as you go to sleep at night, to put out an intention for somebody to visit you in a dream. Again, that's a long shot. I've often done that, gone to bed with that intention, and never gotten a visit. I've had a couple of visits, so I know they happen, but I just don't seem to be able to make them happen. So bottom line here, when you say you're in Chicago, you don't know any mediums, but the Forever Family Foundation has a website, and on the website we have the list of our certified mediums, and they will do, many of them will do a reading over the phone, or Skyping, something like that. But a lot of the mediums actually prefer doing readings over the phone. So if you want an in-depth communication, that would probably be the most reliable way to get something conclusive.
But I'm impressed, Nick, that you want to try to develop this yourself too. And I don't think it's listed on the Forever Family Foundation website, but I do know that some of our certified mediums do hold classes for development, and we've got, some very trusted individuals who might guide you in other techniques that you can try. Mm-hmm. And Tom's always, speaking about meditation, and I did attend one of our mediums groups, and first of all, let me tell you, Nick, that the communication, when you get something just pops into your head, it's not a big aha wow moment. It's just a thought. So if I started to say meditation, if you were to try meditating, just a few minutes at first, but make it a regular habit. I don't know if your schedule allows for something daily or a set time each week.
It does.
But good. And if you focus on that and, start with just 10 minutes at a time, and it may increase, but you clear your mind, you focus on your breathing so that you let go of, all the day-to-day clutter that's coming in, and just say to your mind, I'll talk to you later, but let me focus right now on just my breath and breathing. Then when you feel like your mind is clear a bit, just see what images are coming into your mind. And when I don't know if you can do this while you're meditating or immediately afterwards, just write down whatever image it was, and mm-hmm. and then meditate on what could that possibly mean, and think about everything. Like I'm just saying, like boat. If a boat came into your head, boat. Now you could be a boater, but you might not be. And you go, well, why a boat? Do I know someone with a boat? Did someone take a trip on a boat? And you try to just sort of put the pieces together. And if you jot them down, and then you can look back at them at a later time or every week, it may surprise you. You might just see these hidden messages, and maybe that'll be a start for you.
Yeah, and writing it down is good. But because it's a form of what's most important is the acknowledgement.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, I know a lot of us are spoiled by the movies and that sort of thing, and think that a communication from the other side is going to be a big whoa, an apparition, a big scary thing, or something like that. And it's not. It can be sometimes, but at the especially at the first, if you're developing your awareness, you want to you will get subtle messages. You'll get the feather on the ground, or the coin, or you turn on the radio and it's your loved one's favorite song, or you know, that all of that sort of thing. What's very important is that most people say, well, that's a coincidence. Well, that's a coincidence. But instead, no, that's a communication. Oh, look, they're around me right now, and they're sending this message that they're here. You acknowledge that. You thank them for it, and you invite them to send more. That's part of the intention. Think of it this way. If you were wanted to get in touch with somebody, and you call them on the phone, and the phone just rings and rings and rings, and nobody picks up, and so you try it again, it rings and rings and rings, nobody picks up. After a little while, you're going to say, well, they're not picking up my call, and you're going to stop calling. Well, that's the same thing it is with the other side. If they're putting a butterfly in front of your face, or if they're putting a feather in your path, or a dime in your path, and you just step over it, you're not answering the call. So the advice I give is answer the call and thank them for the call.
Yeah.
Even if you're not convinced it's them, the fact that you're showing that you're open to it, you're showing that you want it, you're showing that you're grateful that they're trying, they will try harder and the communications will increase. Again, very slow process, but that's how it works.
Stay with it.
If you want some encouragement on EVP, I can tell you that I haven't personally tried it a lot. I've tried it some, and I was not successful. But remember, I said that some people are better at getting it than others for whatever reason. And there is a medium of the foundation. I won't mention her name because I don't know if she would want me to. But she has been running sessions where she asks my wife in spirit very specific questions to see if she gets an answer. Okay. And she's gotten a lot of answers. As an example, she asked the question of Fran, my wife, what is the name of the organization that you founded? And you hear faintly but clearly Forever Family Foundation, which is a long thing to say in an EVP. Yeah. It's usually a lot shorter. That was really, you know, interesting. And she did one other question. I mean, there were quite a number, but the two that come to mind, she asked Fran if she could describe the environment that she's now in. And you got a one-word answer, heaven. you know, which was... also, so, you know, it's hard to not believe this. You hear it with your own. That's a good thing about EVP. You hear it with your own, one of your own senses. You hear it with your ears, you know. You know, it's when you get it, it's very rewarding. So thanks for calling and good luck with that.
Sure. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Let's go back to some questions here. Couple questions. Well, here's one that I should address. This person said that he had recently listened to a lot of credible scientists, you know, like Ed Kelly at DOPS at the University of Virginia and Bruce Grayson and so forth. And then he also had the opportunity to listen to the late James Randi, you know, the amazing Randi.
Oh, my goodness.
And he said, you know, it's quite a contrast. On the one hand, you have scholars who lend legitimacy to the subject. And then you have a smart guy like Mr. Randi who says it's all nonsense. So he wanted to know what our thoughts were. Now, here's what I would tell you is that I mean, Randi, you know, may not have been as legitimate, you know, as you think. I mean, if you talk to most of the scholars in the field, he was totally, once he got into a debate with them, and they pressed Randi about the evidence, He admitted that he never saw the evidence, and he would not acknowledge it. You know, and they would point to studies, and he was not familiar with it. But it's the kind, he was the kind of guy that he wouldn't believe it even if it was true. You know. So he did a challenge, which was really a publicity stunt. You know, if somebody could come up with a absolute proof of. Of this non-physical phenomena, and then there was a lot of compelling proof, but he rigged the jury. You know, he had people on his panel. You know, that would so he was not playing on an equal playing field with others, and he really did a lot of disservice to the legitimacy of the scientists that were studying it in the field. So I wouldn't. If you listen to people like Bruce Grayson and Ed Kelly, I would take to heart in what they say, and not so much a debunker. You know, there's a difference between being a debunker and an open-minded skeptic. You know, an open-minded skeptic, follows the evidence where it goes. Randy was a closed-minded skeptic and a debunker, so I wouldn't put much credence in that. We had a bunch of let's go to another call. We have Mary Ellen from Florida on the line. Mary Ellen, let's see, is she there?
Hello? Yes.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello, hello, Mary Ellen.
Hello.
Hi, you're on The Gathering. Did you have a question that you'd like to discuss?
I really don't. This is the first time I'm calling in, so I'm just really calling in to listen and get familiarized with some of the commentary.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, it's glad to have you. So, I mean, you may have called the call-in number instead of the number that to dial in to listen to the show. So that's where they put you through.
Okay.
But if you can hear it, you can hear it.
I have a feeling, though, she might then get cut off once.
Right.
Once we are done speaking directly to her.
Well, nice talking to you, and we'll take another question, and you can listen in. Let's see. There's a lot of questions that we had about people that have lost pets, and they're questioning whether or not. Pets, continue, to the other side. Let's see if I could find one specifically. I lost a 16-year-old feline that was a friend and dear companion to my son. So he wanted to know our personal opinion on being greeted or seeing pets on the other side of life. You know, I think that the consensus is that pets have souls just like humans do. Pets come up very often in medium readings. Some mediums admit that they do not bring through pets, even though they know pets are on the other side, just they aren't able to do that. And we've witnessed, tons of readings where dogs and cats come through. So the question would be if they're being greeted by your pet, your deceased pet on the other side, once you cross, I think so. We have all near-death experiences that cross over and then come back. They talk about seeing relatives and loving pets. I think that certainly the evidence seems to show that, it's not only human souls that survive physical death, it's feline and canine souls too.
I remember my mom feeling the dog jump up on the bed and circle around and settle down long after the dog had passed, and she got great comfort from that. Bob, I was reading another question that one of our listeners had asked, and it was, they ask about their daughter who had passed 3 months ago unexpectedly, and they want to know if they can ask direct questions to her about the passing, and it seems as though it were because of the rest of the question, what happens to the soul when it completes suicide on earth? Now, I'm guessing this is all one question that this young lady passed unexpectedly from suicide, and it says addiction was insurmountable, questioning if that's why this happened. This was my daughter. What happens to those left behind? It's a multi-part question. But the part about, I mean, way too often we're hearing about deaths due to addiction. And I believe in my heart, if you use the word suicide, it was totally unintentional suicide. And it was just, you know, one more, I don't want to use the word injection, but, something else getting into your system that was just more than your body could handle. But it's devastating. It's devastating for parents.
I think what the devastation comes from is, you know, you hear about you come to this earth, you've got a purpose, and when you serve your purpose, you're taken back to the other side. And then, of course, some people take their own life, whether it's accidentally or on purpose, and leaving the parents, as she said, what happened to the people left behind is they feel that, oh my God, my poor loved one is now in purgatory or limbo or not going to be greeted on the other side because it wasn't their time or something like that. And from all I've seen, I do not have a definitive answer, but I do feel that even that is still completing your process here on Earth. That's where you were meant to go. And as far as the people left behind, well, why the heck did we have to go through this with them? And unfortunately, that's part of our life patterns of learning from the darkness to see the light. And that's the best way that I can describe the bad things that happen to us on Earth, that you didn't do anything wrong. You, when these things happen, I know a lot of people are extremely guilty when a loved one commits suicide, thinking that, well, what could I have done if I'd only been there the day before? All of this, the what ifs that you constantly tell yourself. You've got to let that go and know that it's not your fault. And it a lot of times couldn't be helped, but most important, know that your loved one is safe and healthy and probably a lot happier on the other side at this point, if that can give you any kind of comfort.
Yeah, I don't look at suicide as different than other modes of the way people die. I mean, addiction is a disease. You know, mental illness is a disease. Dying from addiction is not much different than dying of cancer. You know, I mean, it's an affliction. I mean, the only thing when you take your own life, I mean, we look at it, well, there was a choice. You know, you didn't have a choice when you got cancer. You have a choice. But, I mean, is there really much of a choice if your world is desolate and you're falling apart, either because of mental illness or an addiction that you just can't overcome? It's hard to. I think we make a mistake when we try to compare the way people die. And I think what Tom said is right. I mean, the important thing is, maybe when you cross over because of an addiction, you know, or taking your own life, you know, maybe there's a little bit of confusion, or maybe the healers on the other side have to work with you a bit, you know, to get you back up to speed. But we're all going, you know, we're all going to progress, you know, no matter how we got there. So, and what happens to those left behind? What happens to all of us who lose loved ones? You know, it doesn't matter the way you go. We miss them. We love them. We don't, can't touch them. We can, you know, they're not in the physical. We deal with it. You know, we have no choice, you know, so. So that's that. Let's see what else we have here. Let's see.
I was going to try to, I was, you know, we talk about reincarnation a lot. Of course, we don't know for certain if everyone reincarnates, if you have a choice, but this listener wants to know, can I reincarnate again with my same loved ones? What do you guys think?
Well, I certainly haven't seen any evidence of that, other than there was the book, is that Jim Tucker's book, who talks about the children who are born and they remember
right.
the life they had before. In fact, it's a fascinating book about some, like somebody who was shot in the side to die, and then the baby is born with a birthmark right where the bullet was, and the baby, when they're old enough to talk, start talking about their other family, and they've even you know, people like Jim Tucker have taken these kids and found the other family. So it's possible that, yes, you could end up back in your own family. I haven't heard any accounts, anecdotal or otherwise, that have said that, but I do believe it's a possibility.
Well, I'm sorry to jump in, but when you say that, there's an era, like that person who was shot, it's a new era, like the same family, meaning relatives in the future. Like the family is now,
I interpret as, you know, is it possible to reincarnate back into your immediate family, you know, your real family? And as Tom said, I don't, you know, I read a lot of cases, and I don't recall ever reading a case like that. However, the research shows that there's not a tremendous time period. I say time period, an hour time that elapses between one incarnation and the next. You know, so theoretically, I mean, if it was a year or two in our time, and they reincarnated, why couldn't they reincarnate, you know, back into the same family? Like a baby is born, you know, and it's them. But then it raises the other question, you know, what's the purpose of, why do we reincarnate? You know, supposedly we reincarnate to learn different life lessons, right? So are we going to learn different life lessons if we put ourselves back in the same environment? You know, that's the question that I don't know the answer to. So
you're reminding me, Bob, when my daughter was engaged to be married and she met her future in-laws, she told me that she felt she had known her mother-in-law from a past relationship, and that my daughter actually felt she was the mother of this woman.
Yeah.
And I don't, now that woman has passed away. We never had the discussion ever again, but I just recall the extreme protectiveness my daughter had for this couple, and especially her mother-in-law. So that's kind of interesting, and why not?
Yeah. Why not? We've talked about that. Sometimes I'll look at my grandson, and I'll wonder if he could be the reincarnation of my daughter that passed.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, now time-wise, it would have been you know, a difference of like 12 years. You know, I mean, I think that that's a long time to wait to reincarnate again.
So does it matter, Bob? Remember,
I'm not the only one. I'm sure a lot of families, you know, that goes through your mind, you know, when a new one is born and you are someone, and who knows, it may very well be. You can.
Yeah, it could be. And I want to throw in also the, you were sort of hedging that by saying, well, what's there to learn if you go back to the same family? That's life, the planet Earth as a schoolroom. And yes, it is a schoolroom and there are things to learn. But there's also, to me, there's the other side of it, that life on Earth is an amusement park. It's a playground. And you come, why do you reincarnate? I'm going to go play again. You know, the physical was, you know, I was able to have fun. You know, maybe this time I'll have more fun or that sort of thing, you know. And so you come back as a choice just to experience it again. And if you say, wow, you know, that family that I was in, I felt so comfortable with, maybe I'll reincarnate straight back into the same family.
Right.
I think it's all possible. Again, this is now conjecture. I have no evidence to any of this.
Well, and we wouldn't want people to then say, well, where's my loved one? Weren't they having fun with us? Why didn't they come back?
Yeah, that's the trouble with throwing something like that out there, is that you may be doing harm to the people who desperately want that to happen for them, and it doesn't. Again, like with Nick from Chicago, he desperately wants to get an EVP communication, which hopefully he will, but I don't want to build his hopes up, because as you and I know, we've tried it a lot without success. So it's not something, it's something you sort of do. And then if something comes up and you go, oh, wow, it came up. But if it's something you're waiting on every day going, oh, it didn't happen today, I'll try tomorrow, you could have a lot of sad days that way.
Yeah. Well, it's like everything else. You just keep trying. That's all you could do. But the rewards when it happens, you know, are great. We have a lot more questions, but we're ran out of time. There was one maybe we could address the next show, the question about whether we incarnate only here on Earth, you know, or...
Oh, yeah.
Could you be incarnate to an alien civilization? So I have my thoughts on that, but that's for another show.
Okay. No, our next show like this is going to be in 2021 for The Gathering.
Jim. Oh, really? Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's a good year to be talking about.
Right. All right. So let's go to our global peace prayer. Let us now, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Still hot.